Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now we're heading to the shores of Lake Constance in southern Germany, where Nobel Prize winners are meeting with over 600 young scientists from right across the globe. It's called the Lindau Nobel Laureate Meeting, and our own resident scientist, Dr. Shane Bergen, physicist and associate professor at the UCD School of Education, is there for us this morning. Hello, Shane.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Lovely to have you with us from Germany today. So this sounds like an event that is something like the, you might compare it to the passing of the torch, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Davos, but for scientists. So we have 35 Nobel laureates here. I'm surrounded by them. And 600 young scientists from over 80 countries, including three from Ireland. And this year, we are talking about chemistry. And of course, it's not just the exciting things that Nobel Prizes have been awarded for. It's also current issues that are facing the world, touching on issues like your last item, like climate change, like artificial intelligence, and of course, how these connect to the real world through science communication and science diplomacy. So it's kind of all encompassing, and there's this real mix of the older generation, many of whom are still very active in science, and then all of these young scientists who have been selected through competition to come and represent their countries.
And what is that like? It must be really interesting just to watch it, first of all, never mind to get into the weeds of what they're talking about. What's the vibe like?
It's brilliant. I came myself as a student in 2008. And I was told, you will never come again unless you win a Nobel Prize. So I haven't won a Nobel Prize. And
but you managed to get back in.
But I'm here helping people to talk about science and to communicate science with the world. And that's really core in a project like this, because it's not just about people going away and doing science in silos. It's about making young scientists and laureates connect that work with the world. And so things like artificial intelligence are now being used to transform how chemistry is done. The recent Nobel Prize in 2024 was given to somebody working in Google, John Jumper, who actually was able to use artificial intelligence to predict the shape of biomolecules called proteins. And this has transformed our capacity to invent new medicines, and it's all done on computers. And absolutely like game changing. And there's been other work going on, a huge amount about sustainability and about so-called circular chemistry, recognizing that the processes that we had in the 20th century to feed the world and to fuel the world are now harming us. Our use of fertilizers, our emissions of carbon dioxide and methane are killing the planet, and in turn will wipe out our civilization. So these people are looking at ways to respond to that with science. For example, Francis Arnold has developed a way of being able to eat plastic waste. And Stephen Chu, who was actually Obama's science advisor as well, he's looking at ways to capture carbon. So there's great hope here, but I would stress for listeners, it's a long way off from having ideas in science to being able to actually put those into reality. That's where politics and diplomacy comes in.
So when you talk about circular chemistry, that's making chemistry more sustainable, really, and more responsible, because chemistry is about taking something, using it, and discarding it, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So like one of the greatest leap forwards in chemistry in the 20th century was the invention of fertilizers. So our capacity to be able to feed the world, the amount of land that was used in the middle of the 20th century to feed the then global population is the same as it is now in 2025, despite the fact that our global population has exploded. So we're able to feed people, or most people, but the processes that we're using are extremely harmful. I was blown away by Stephen Chu's contributions in talking about the harm of using fertilizers. He said that we can't just turn it off in the morning because people would starve, but he said we also can't continue to do what we're doing, because the greenhouse gases that are coming from fertilizers in particular, and he said from dairy and beef production, he said, are entirely unsustainable. And he said there's nowhere in the world where this is sustainable. But he also said, the caveat is, there's nowhere in the world where it is politically acceptable to just stop it. So he said, there's the problem. He said the science is kind of showing us where we might go, But he said the reality of the world, which is how we put things into practice, he says, is far more complicated because it affects people's lives and livelihoods. So, you know, that's the crucial bit. And that's the bit where it takes 600 young people and 40 plus Nobel laureates. That's where they get stuck. And these are the juicy problems that we're chatting over this week.
And the young scientists, they're not just watching in awe, unable to speak, are they? They're involved in all of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so much activity from them. And there are three here from Ireland, two from Trinity College, Manting Mu and Apostolos Kousiakis. And there's another student here from a University of Limerick, Niraj Patel. And they along with their colleagues from other countries, are in workshops. Some of them are up on stage chatting with Nobel laureates. As I was preparing for this interview this morning, I was sitting outside having a coffee. And just next to me, there was a Nobel Prize winner having a chat with a young woman from some part of the world. And they were chatting like two old friends about a chemistry problem that she was facing in her research. And the Nobel Prize winner was sharing their experience, and it was a back and forth sort of thing. And that's really at the heart of what this week is about.
Well, you love to see it. Shane, thanks so much for joining us from Germany. That's Dr. Shane Berg. And just an interesting piece of news to bring you before we go. France has announced that it has fined Shein, that's the e-commerce giant, €40 million over deceptive commercial practices. This is after a competition inquiry. The anti-fraud office in France said they found the implementation of deceptive commercial practices towards consumers regarding price reductions and have imposed that fine of 40 million.